26 minutes after 2 o'clock. You're listening to brand new music from Sierra Leone's Refugee All-Stars. So glad to see this one. The song that you're hearing right now is Maria. This is your friend and neighbor, Vicky. Thanks for hanging out this afternoon. Jeff and I swapping things up so I could have the distinct pleasure of spending a little time with Jonathan Myberg of Shearwater, who is very, very kindly stopped by the studios this afternoon on his way home, finally heading home, just to talk a little bit. Jonathan, thank you so very much for doing this.
Hi, Vicky. It's great to be here.
Oh, you know, we love your music so much here at KRCC.
Well,
didn't have to run out to buy anything. It was already living here in a big way. And I guess what I wanted to do is just, we're talking a little bit, this latest release, Fellow Travelers. I was telling you off mic that I started my morning this morning very early with coffee and a dog by my side, and this amazing essay, this road log that you wrote that's in the booklet that goes with Fellow Travelers, the liner notes. And it was just, it's charming and insightful, and, you know, with everything that you do with Shearwater, because you told me you're also the manager, accountant, drive time. is this what you do in your spare time, just write these amazing essays?
Well, I've done a lot more writing this last year, actually, and it's something I really enjoy. Do you want me to read a little bit of this?
I would love it.
Okay, I'll just start with the very first. It's sort of divided into little vignettes, because the idea was that I wanted to present sort of a picture of touring life, because the record is a set of songs by bands that we've toured with over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also got those bands to participate in the record, although the rule was they couldn't play on their own song. So it was kind of a team effort to make this record, and I wanted to talk about not the songs, the recording process so much as just a look back at 10 years of being on the road.
Right, yeah, please.
So here's how it begins. It goes, there's a stretch of Texas where it's always night, as far as I know. It's somewhere between Ozona and Van Horn, along Interstate 10. And though I've driven through dozens of times, I've never seen it in the daylight. We're always heading west from Austin at the start of a tour, or more rarely, limping home from Phoenix or Tucson at the end. Either way, by the time we get there, it's dark. Just on the edge of this phantom zone, there's a ruin of an old schoolhouse in Kent, Texas, where we stop to stretch our legs. It's a beautiful little spot. The sun's always rising or setting there, and there's Indian paintbrush growing among broken bottles and some mostly good-natured graffiti. Black-throated sparrows buzz and squeak in the creosote bushes, whose tiny leaves and yellow flowers, crushed between your index finger and thumb, smell like rain. The gas station on the other side of the overpass doesn't look open, but it sometimes is. They took the outside door off the men's room a long time ago in exchange for never cleaning it. Ever.
Look, I'm doing the same thing. I got to that part, and I'm like, ever. But what a beautiful picture that paints, and what I got from that reading this is the trials, the tribulations, the great beauty of it, the solidarity with your band, I'm imagining the kinds of bumps that you hit with each other living in such close quarters, because it's not a chartered jet that you're doing this in, obviously.
No.
You know, we're talking, as you said, dirty socks and flat tires and
we had one of the most remarkable drives we've ever had on a tour just 2 days ago. We're driving from Seattle towards Boise, which is about 10 hours. It's not bad, but we ended up in the snow, going over the Mount Baker Snoqualmie National Forest outside Seattle.
Mm.
We had to put chains in the vans. We had to buy chains. And we went, it was like 20 miles an hour and snowing, these huge mounds of snow everywhere. And we finally got clear of that and then drove down and got into the Columbia River Gorge and then drove up past Pendleton and then hit snow again.
Wow.
Basically, by the time we got to Boise, it was almost 7 in the morning, and we had to play in Salt Lake that night. So we got into the hotel, and there were people leaving the hotel to start their day, and we're like just sort of staggering in. And we all got into bed, and then an hour later, the fire alarm went off in the hotel.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. So up you go, or did you just make sure? Was there a fire or not? I mean, did you wait?
Oh, well,
it
stopped after a little while, so we figured that it probably wasn't on fire. And so we went back to sleep for another hour. But then we had to get up and go down to Salt Lake to play.
And on top of all this, you're also writing and in the studio when you can be. You're working on another record. Like, mm-hmm. You're doing all. How do you? I'm really curious. The kind of music you make, which, okay, here we go. is so stunning, so beautiful, so deep and passionate. It's, you're not just kind of dashing off lyrics and, you know, you are really making some of the most amazing music, but with this this touring grind at times and the energy. I know the playing is its own, you know, beautiful reward, but getting there and leaving there and then trying to be creative too, how do you balance all of that?
Sometimes I think of the story of the guy who goes up to visit the shepherd in the Scottish Highlands and just loses his mind to how beautiful it is up there, and he enthuses for a long time about the blooming heather and the beautiful hills, and finally the shepherd just looks at him and says, but it's not sustaining. You know, like you can't eat scenery.
Really?
I was asked in an interview last night, actually, they said, what are your hopes and dreams for Shearwater? And I sort of just stared at him and was like, in a lot of ways, you know, I've achieved most of them. Like the fact that I still get to travel around and record music and play music for people with talented people who I love, 12 years on is amazing to me. I wouldn't mind some more money because I'd love to have health insurance. But beyond that, I mean, I've played in so many different situations. I just feel really, really lucky to be able to do this. And it makes it not easy to do the work, but certainly easier because I want to. And as I'm sure you know, even wanting to do something doesn't keep it from being difficult sometimes. But,
right.
You know, it sure does help.
Oh, it sure does. Okay, I'm going to have to ask you. I got my greatest hits of questions here. Some of them were answered by reading that wonderful, those little vignettes and essays. This voice that you have, this beautiful, soaring voice, was that something you realized, you know, as a little guy? You know, did your voice find you? Did you find it? Did, you know, is this a trained kind of thing, singing in church or chapels? Or
yeah, I mean, I did. I grew up singing in church choirs in the Episcopal Church, and though I don't, you know, I don't go to church anymore, but I was lucky enough to work with a couple of really great choir directors who had great taste in music and, you know, learned a lot of Renaissance music and Baroque stuff and that kind of thing. So that definitely informed the way that I sang. Although a lot of trying to learn to use that voice in the band has been unlearning many of the things that I was taught. Because that, you know, a voice made for choir is not necessarily very good for a rock band.
Mm-hmm.
And but somehow in the world between what you think of as a normal kind of rock vocalist and that more formal training, I've been trying to stake out my own position, I guess. Jessica Hoop, whom we're touring with right now, is somewhat similar. I mean, she didn't have a church choir type background, but she's also, you know, a really trained singer. She's just a real excellent technician with her voice, and she uses it in so many stunning ways. She's really special.
I had the great pleasure to see her. It's the only time I've seen her. And it was at a music conference, but it was in a room probably this size. And she was new to me, and she gets up and performs just amazing song after song.
Yeah, she
just
gets up there and you think, you know, okay, a girl with a guitar, I get it. And then, but you don't get it. That's not what it's about to happen.
Right, and exactly.
It's been a joy to have her on the tour. She's actually, in addition to opening for us on this tour, she's playing in the band. So we've had her singing with us and playing drums and keyboards and stuff. She's great.
Oh, wow. So she's a multi-instrumentalist then. I didn't even realize
that.
Yeah,
she sold herself short on that point. She said, well, I could play a little bit, but we kept giving her things to do, and she kept kind of rising to the task. So, you know.
Oh, man.
It was great.
Yeah, not a bad way to set the bar and then hit those heights. Okay, here's what I've been worried about. Mm-hmm. So I have to ask you this. With your great knowledge of and love of birds, all this traveling that you do,
yeah,
are you able to put time aside to go ahead and observe, journal, identify? You know, is that something that...
No.
No.
No is the short answer.
Darn it.
There are little moments. Like, I mean, just now while we were just up, you know, off Academy Boulevard, I was watching these... We were sitting at a stoplight, and I was watching these two ravens just playing on the wind. They're just having a good time. And little moments like that, being able to see them and see them for what they are, is, you know, it's a blessing by itself. And I think that having studied birds and being so involved in the natural world, it just makes your everyday life richer, even if you're not able to spend concentrated time on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 2 years ago, I went back down to the Falklands and spent about 6 weeks down there working on a new study that we're just now finishing up, writing up 2 years later. But that was in the middle of the touring season for Animal Joy. So we played 200 shows that year. And in the middle of it, I went down to the Falklands.
Great record, by the way.
Oh, thank you. But it was funny because actually there's a recording from the Falklands that turns up in Fellow Travelers. In the David Thomas Broughton song Ambiguity, you can hear at the end of the song, there's a line where the last line in the song is, I really shouldn't say it, but I just love what the water does. And then you realize that as you've been listening to the song, these sounds have been slowly creeping up. And what that is it's a recording I made on an island called Steeple Jason, way off to the northwest of the Falklands. And there's a beautiful little gully on that island where the waves are washing into it. And you can hear little Antarctic sort of thrush-like birds called cinclodes sort of twittering in the background and geese. And you can't hear them, but there were penguins sitting around there at the time. And it takes you, you know, I wanted to bring you into that place with me for a minute because it's such a special place and one that very few people have, you know, ever been to.
Oh, thank you for that. And actually, that's a song I have queued up because I love it. And I remember the first time it took me out of the song and I happened to have my headphones on and I kind of forgot to get on mic because I got so swept away. It was like, oh, I have to do something now.
We're playing an extended version of that now in the shows, actually, that has even more of that recording and other recordings I made in the Falklands, people talking. And the man who first got me into birds appears on there. And it's a little bit like a board of Canada kind of thing, just all mm-hmm. these different voices saying kind of nonsensical things. It's been a fun moment in the shows.
The collaboration that you have with nature, I mean, it's just so beautiful. That's one of the things that moves me so much about your records and your songs is that collaboration with the natural world. Some of the amazing artwork that goes with really all of your stuff that I've seen. Do you have a hand in that, picking the pieces or the photographs?
Yeah, I mean, almost all of it. I mean, since our record Rook, I guess, which was 2008, we've been working with an artistic team called Kahn and Selesnik, and they're based out of New York, and they've done all of our artwork since then. And I saw their artwork, and I immediately sort of just felt a kinship with them. And they've been outstanding collaborators, and usually I try to find pieces that they've already made to use in our work so that they don't have to work as hard and we don't have to pay as much. but for Fellow Travelers, I got them for the video for the song. I got them to art direct the video sort of as part of their Mars series that they've been doing. So the video, I don't know if you've seen it, for the Shushu cover that we did, I Love the Valley.
No, I haven't.
It has me and another character as these sort of lost astronauts on a kind of a Martian planet, and some strange things happen. But it fits in with the aesthetic of the artwork for the Fellow Travelers album.
Yeah, very, very striking. Really, listeners of KRCC, I know you can hear Shearwater quite a bit here, but I do encourage you to, if you want to start, you know, jump in anywhere, really. But Fellow Travelers is such an amazing record, and it really opens up in unexpected ways. And, you know, I've heard the term covers record, and that's such a shallow description of it because it's not that yet. Yes, you're doing songs.
Yeah, I don't really like covers records,
right?
Very much, usually,
and this is a whole different animal.
What we wanted to do is make a record that was just like another, you know, a new Shearwater record that just happened to be composed of songs by other people. So I wanted to give it an arc in the way that our records usually have kind of an arc to them, mm-hmm. and involve you in a world. And some of the songs, a couple of them, we did fairly straight up covers that, you know, in the tradition of like a painter's study, you know, like our cover of the Folk Implosion song Natural One. I served up almost note for note. We got Jen from Wyoke to sing on that one. But it was, you know, I just admire that song so much, the way it's constructed. And I think it's kind of a lost hit that we just sort of updated, changed the sounds a little bit. And I was really nervous because I sent it to Lou Barlow just to see what he would think about it. Because we toured with him with Dinosaur Jr., which is how I managed to get that
okay.
one. You know, how that was allowed to be on the record.
Right.
On a technicality, I guess, because we didn't tour with Folk Implosion. But he liked it. And, I felt great about that. But that's probably the most straight-up cover of the bunch. Like, some of the other ones are nearly unrecognizable. The Coldplay song I changed almost entirely. And the St. Vincent song, I was proud of that one because...
Oh, Cheerleader, yeah.
Well, it's a great song, but I wanted to take, like, the complete opposite approach to what she does because mm-hmm. her approach is so sort of rigid and mechanical, and I tried to imagine it if it had been on, like, tonight's the night or something, you know, like a very Neil Young kind of approach.
Oh yeah. New ears for that one. And working with Sharon Van Etten, and you know, you say sweet things about her.
Oh, Sharon's the best. She's the real thing.
She really truly is. I remember when I came across Epic was one of those little jewels that nobody was really promoting or anything. It just happened to hit my desk and, you know, put it on. It was like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
you know, more and more. And obviously that's happening. She's so talented.
Well, I worked on her new record a couple months ago in New York, which I think comes out in a few months. But it's really great. It's an excellent record. It's got a little more sort of a soul feeling to it in some ways. I got to go in and play in, she was working on it at Electric Lady Studios in New York, which is the one that Jimi Hendrix built. You know, it's still there, that you can see all the paintings he had commissioned on the walls, which are like what you would expect, like pyramids and aliens and things like that. It's great. And I got to play the Wurlitzer that used to live at, it's an electric piano. It used to live at Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Alabama. So
nice.
It's like the electric piano that Spooner Oldham played on the Aretha Franklin records, you know, like
it's
the original.
It's the one we know.
Yeah, it's
love.
The one that you know. Yeah, that one. It was a treat to play. A little wonky after all these years, but it spoke pretty well.
Oh, fantastic. You know, Jonathan, I could keep you here all day, really and truly. You're such an interesting man. It's such a great band. You make being a DJ just pure pleasure. And I can't thank you enough, never mind the private journeys. I travel with Shearwater Records quite a bit, actually. So I want to thank you personally for that. I know it's been the end of lots and lots of work, and your home, it's you can see it. You can almost, you're heading in the right direction,
this is
sir.
Actually, we just finished the West Coast leg of this tour. We're going to head to the East Coast in a couple of weeks after South by Southwest and then over to Europe. So this journey won't be done until about mid-May, but then we're going to get back to work on the new record that we're working on, which we're about half finished with, which should be out, I think, about this time next year. It's going to be called Jet Plane and Oxbow, and I'm really, really excited about that record.
Well, I so look forward to it. It'll just immediately go on to the turntable or on to the CD player. So I can't wait to hear what's on it. And I'm going to have to send you on your way, I guess. But I can't thank you enough for spending time with us. And lots of music fans. KRCC has some of the best music listeners, audiophiles, big-hearted, you know, music lovers, and I know your music is so embraced by
We want to come down here and play. We've never played in Colorado Springs, and it's definitely an omission on our touring schedule. So next time around, we'll come here.
We'll make that work, too. Jonathan Myberg of Shearwater. In fact, we've got something queued up from the Fellow Travelers release. And you travel safely, and I hope to meet up with you again.
Thank you so much, Vicki.
You bet. Thank you, Jonathan.